Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jen, who is here to speak with us about a very fun fundraiser that she's doing during the Bridge Walk season. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Thanks for being with us.
Sure.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your idea and how it came about and what you're up to with it.
Sure, yeah. So what I'm doing is I committed to walking 3 miles a day for 3 weeks leading up to the Bridge Walk on October 3rd. And I asked people to contribute $3 toward that. And it occurred to me, as things do, sort of just it just dropped in, and I saw how quickly conditioning just the idea to do it dropped in, and I saw how quickly conditioning was trying to convince me to not do it.
Uh-huh.
So I decided to do it.
Yeah, isn't that good? I love that.
Yes.
It gets to a place in practice, and boy, ego's in big trouble when we do, where that resistance becomes, oh, okay, well, then that's clearly what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and it, of course, would have made a lot of sense to not do it. This is a busy time. I've got a lot of work right now, and I'm getting ready to come to the monastery, and blah, 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 blah. Like, there are all these reasons that sound really legitimate, and I know that's one of the real tricks of conditioning of, for me and probably for other people is that, you know, everything sounds so legitimate. So I decided to use that as a signal that I should go ahead and do this. So,
yeah,
and what I've found... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, especially that one about, like, well, I mean, I'm about to really participate in practice, you know, at the monastery.
Right.
So that's good enough.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And I had just come off retreat, for, you know, for heaven's sake. I just, it's only so much, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But it was great because I did something similar a few years ago, and that year I did 5 for 5. I was asking for $5, and I was going to walk 5 miles on a specific day, on the Bridge Walk day, and I was asking, but in New York, and I was asking people to walk with me if they wanted in silence. And what I found when I did it that time was, and I'm finding the same thing now, it's just people are so generous. You know, I blew past my goal in 2 days.
Wow.
You know, my financial goal I met in 2 days. And people, you know, hardly anybody's giving $3. People are giving $30 and more, you know.
Yeah.
It's just very, that part is always very interesting to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that you just put it out there. Well, you know what I project onto it is that we get to this place where we're doing it for the process. You know, it's like we always talk about the,
yeah.
We get it, that the process is the outcome. And then so we do it from that place. And we're not doing it, oh, because I really want to get this thing and I really hope people are going to give. And but we're back to that place of really just doing it for the process. And I swear there's an energy to that and that people
mm-hmm.
are attracted to that and they want to support that. And they, I project they see kind of their own authenticity resonating in that and want to support
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I hadn't thought of it that way. One person who had donated last time, and he donated again this time. My former boss, the way he donated a very large amount, and the way he put it to me was that he said, "Jen, I want to give, and it's hard to know that your money is going to go somewhere that it's actually going to change people's lives. So when people like you vet something." You know, when you say, yes, I know these people, I know this project, I'm so committed to it, I'm going to do this, then it's easy for me to give, is the way he put it, you know?
That's a great point, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people's lives are super, super busy, and it is hard to know. I mean, gosh, we hear all kinds of stuff about things that go on that are less than ideal that, you know, maybe we wish they weren't done that way or whatever it is. But to hear from, it's so true, to hear from someone that we really love and we trust, you know, oh, here's this great cleaning product, or, you know, gosh, you really got to try out this new, or you got to go see this movie, or here's this organization that I love, that I actually know the people who are doing it, you know, so I can really say, not only do I believe in the organization, but I really know the people who are doing it, and I know how they're doing it, and I know, you know, what goes on there, and that is a great service to be able to, because there are so many people who are, I think, are probably in his position who really do want to contribute, but it is hard to know, you know, gosh, you know, where do I give my money? What's actually going to be something that is going to contribute?
Yeah, that's actually, the money's actually going to reach the people that I'm trying to, you know, that I envision I can help with this. Yeah, yeah. The other great thing about it all is that, you know, I tied it in with one of my own commitments, one of my own practice commitments, which is to move every day. And so, you know, tying it to taking a walk of a specific, you know, length every day, has been, it's like a win-win, you know, it's a win for me too. I get to keep that practice commitment, and it's changed the tone of that practice commitment. Some, you know, I don't always want to take a walk.
And I'm gonna ask you about that. If you've noticed that the double commitment, really, it sounds like. So one of your five is to move in a certain amount, and, you know, daily. But then also having it tied to your fundraiser, if you're finding that that's really giving you the extra support you need, maybe when conditioning is kicking up the storm that it likes to kick up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's twofold. There's the part that's obvious, like, okay, I told everybody I would do this, and they've given me money, now I have to do it. So there's a little motivation there. But there's also even more motivating is like, oh, symbolically, I'm actually, you know, putting food on the table for somebody that doesn't have it by just going to take this walk.
Yes.
You know? And that I'm finding hugely motivating.
Yeah. Boy, and I mean,
you know, with all of the challenges, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, with all of the challenges they have in their lives, you know, in Cantalumba, it's like, I can get out and walk 3 miles. I can find the time in my day. You know, it's already dark, grab a flashlight. It's a, you know, it's rainy, grab an umbrella. You know, like, it's, I have so much at my disposal to, you know, make my life comfortable. And just that extra little push of like, oh, I'm doing this to help make somebody else's life just a tad more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's been really great.
Really great. And I'm not carrying 10 gallons of water on my head in walking those 3 miles.
Right, you know. So that my children can have something to drink. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's really been my experience, too, of just that. One of the things that I've so appreciated about it is that all the commitments, I'm sure this is true for all of us, are things that I really want to do. And they're things that, you know, either they become, well, other things are more important, or, you know, that's not really a good use of your time, or I don't feel like it, or whatever it is. But, of course, they're all things I want to do, and I'm right with you that extra motivation of, it's so concrete that we're doing this, you know, in solidarity with our team in Cantalumba. And as you say, the challenges are huge in their lives, and so, you know, they're out there doing it every day. And so I want to, too. And then when we do, we're the ones who receive so much of the benefit from it.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, I not only get the benefit of the walking, I get the benefit of, you know, feeling the generosity of all the people who have contributed to me, you know, like, even if that generosity is not directed to me per se, it's for the cause. I'm like the conduit for that. So I get to, you know, see every time, you know, someone's made a contribution, I get a little email. It's like, oh, that's awesome, you know.
I do know. And you know, it's funny as you say that, because it isn't money that's being given to you, but in a way, the giving is to you, because, I mean, your old boss's attitude of mind is a perfect example of that. He's giving to you because he sees his own goodness reflected in you.
Right.
So it is not just a random sort of a thing, but they're choosing to give to you for, you know, because they're seeing themselves in you, I would guess.
Right. Yeah. Or in the you know, in the Africa Project as well. So.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So it's been great. And of course I feel great because I'm walking 3 miles a day.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. And I've more than double of my goal, and, you know, I have been able to tell people as well that now we have matching funds for that. So it's like, you know, it's really No, I was so excited when I heard that.
So actually, then you quadrupled your goal.
That's right.
That's so great.
And all I did was ask for $3 from people,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You set out a goal, you blow through it in 2 days, you actually double
yeah.
it, and then someone yep. that comes forward to double all of our
yeah, again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, I should say that, because for folks who may not have been listening to the show last week, that what we're referring to is that Sherry announced that there's someone who's come forward to say that everything we raise in the Bridge Rock season, they're going to match it. So we'll raise essentially double whatever we get to. So it's just, it's incredibly exciting and fun and inspiring and all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Very
and it
good.
Just
well,
is like,
so
it's,
what was that?
I was just going to say, it feels like it's just, I'm sort of swimming in this stew of generosity all the way around, and it just is a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. It really underlines that gratitude wants to give, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the more we give, the more we get.
Yeah.
It's building on itself, yeah. Well, thanks for being with us, Jen, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'll be able to attend my first bridge walk in San Francisco.
That's very perfect.
I'll be there, yeah.
Excellent, and you'll be... running across that bridge, it'll be like half your normal walk. Yeah. All right, very good.
Thanks for the opportunity to share, Jen.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you. Take good care.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jen. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my great pleasure and privilege to be joined tonight by you, Jen, a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great. Now, I can hear you clearly, but you're just a teeny bit quieter than usual.
Okay. Yeah, it's that usual thing where I'm on the landline.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we have to choose between the cell is loud enough, but the signal isn't so good. Whereas the landline is, the signal's great, but the volume isn't so good. So I'll do my shouting, and you'll cue me if it's not loud enough, right?
Yes, I will, exactly.
Okay,
and I'm sure
it
sounds like
now?
Shouting to you. Yes, that's a little better now.
Okay. All right. Good.
Great.
Great. And so the reason we're not joined by Sherry tonight is that she and the rest of the writing team are in the final stages of getting that book off to the publisher, the book that they're working on right now.
Wow. And
I know
the subject of this book, or is it a mystery to be revealed?
This is the big bamboozle one.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
But that's all I know. I don't know any more than that. So I guess we'll all have to wait for the big debut. But so, yeah, that's why she wasn't able to be with us this afternoon because, I mean, very, you know, literally, they're going through the very final stages, meeting deadlines. So very exciting.
Wow, that is very exciting. That is very exciting. And I remember the email class, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. I love those forms of practice of laying out, you know, so in this case, like, okay, what are all the main ways that conditioning comes at us? And just laying them out so clearly because it really boxes conditioning in. You know, because the only way it can torture us is for us not to catch on to what's going on and to really believe it, you know, gosh, it's really serious, you know, what it's talking to me about. And that's true. I mean, I really don't feel like it, and so I'm a bad person. But then when you see it written down in a book, you realize, wait, that's just everyone else has that happen too. And it's so much easier to disidentify and not believe it.
Yes, with example after example after example.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
And then you can do, we can start doing fun stuff like driving it crazy, like doing a tally. Oh, I see. So you're going to try that bamboozle now. Okay, let me put a tally mark on that one.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's like it brings into relief stuff that was otherwise invisible because it was a bamboozle, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's a good point. So laying it out like that takes it from being a bamboozle to something that we can clearly see.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Exactly. And I could go on and on about this, and we have announcements and callers
and all that good stuff. Excellent.
Exciting stuff.
Good.
So how about I jump into announcements here?
Sounds good.
Okay. A great way to train to be in this here now is to get outside for a walk in nature and experience how we are part of all that is. The new Walking with the Mentor group coaching program, which starts October 7th, will help participants create a kind and compassionate walking program. For information, visit sanghamarket.com.
And we had kind of half a commercial for that just now with Jen, didn't we? The power of
yes.
walking.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And speaking of the conversation with Jen, join us on Saturday, October 3rd for the 14th. Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize it was that many. 14th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to support the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And until then, take the High Five Challenge, keeping 5 commitments a day, and log them on our website, livingcompassion.org.
And rumor has it that we are very close.
Very close. Oh, on the High Five Commitments.
On the High Five Commitments, yeah. And
oh, okay.
Actually,
great.
I talked to Teresa the other day,
yeah.
And they are excited. It's so endearing. I'm so excited for them. You know, every year we talk about the bridge walk and that sort of thing, but this year they're really into it. And so she said to me, "We have a lot of points," and we haven't challenged any of their points into the points yet. So I said, "Well, can you tell me, or is it no? Nope, it's a secret. We're not going to tell you until it's all done." So I have a feeling they're going to really outdo us. So we'll see. That'll be fun to announce on the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember what their 5 are. I think some of them are. Two of them is kindness and caring.
Kindness, caring, and then a lot of them are practical. So the English and attendance, you know, they're really looking
yeah.
at both, you could say, both the content and the process in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, of course, Jen sort of alluded to this too. Boy, those of us on this side of the Atlantic have a lot of those things taken care of. We really
yes.
are incredibly lucky. We don't have to walk for 3 miles with water on our head in order to bathe or do dishes or even have drinking water. You know, we don't have to. Most of us, you know, going to school, getting an education was pretty much assumed. But for these folks, you know, that's a huge deal to be able to go to school and to stay in school and to have the support to do that. And to be able to afford the uniform to do it and the books and to learn how to read. You know, I mean, we were talking about that a couple of years ago, these sixth graders who didn't know how to read, you know, so learning how to read. So I project it's a thrill for them to have some of those, what seem to us, you know, sort of everyday, we take them for granted things, to be really getting the support of the team to keep those commitments that are such seemingly small but huge things that have the power to really change their lives.
Yes, yes. And I love how they are getting so involved with the Bridge Walk season. It feels much more integrated to me.
Me too, me too. I'm sure it's going to go deeper each year, you know. I mean, the technology is not quite there yet because of the, you know, there's internet, certainly, but not easy internet in Cantalomba, for example.
Yes.
But I just know we're going to find ways to link it up even more. The time difference is tricky. It's exactly the wrong time difference. Because every time we're waking up in the morning, they're going to bed. And then they wake up in the morning, and we're going to bed. So I always, you know, remember that from when I'm traveling there. And I wake up early in the morning to try to communicate with folks back here right as they're before they go to bed, and then and vice versa.
I see.
So that's one. That's another challenge, but we'll figure it out.
We will figure it out. And yes, I'm absolutely convinced it's going to get better all the time.
Yeah. So, Michael, before we jump into callers, I'm at the ready with my other line if you feel like it's still too soft.
Okay. You sound good to me now.
Okay.
And I actually have more announcements still.
Oh, okay.
So
okay, sorry,
I'll try to stay on track here. Okay. Reflected Listening Buddies offers connection with Sangha in a privileged environment and weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness practice. The next quarter begins in October.
Great. Love that program.
Yes. And a new email class, Meditating on Chakras, a practice of awareness of energy, is coming up next month. Participants will explore expressing the energies of this year now through the framework of the chakras.
Fun, huh? When that email came out, I thought, okay, I got to really step it up, getting through all the responses from this last class before that class starts.
I know. It's just it's another one of those debts that cannot be repaid.
Yeah.
Is trying to read all the responses.
Yep.
Celebrate a year of deepening practice and welcome a new beginning at the New Year's retreat. That's December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
If I hadn't talked so much already, I would talk about how fantastic this is. But I'm sure we have lots of weeks to talk about that. So.
Yes. And so for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Jen today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And I see that many of you have. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Thank you, Jen. And let's get started here.
Sounds good.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Janet. It's Janice from Vancouver.
Hi, Janice.
Hi
there. So I was really fortunate to be able to go on retreat in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be going, I hope, to be at the monastery for October 3rd after the Bridge Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
So a couple of things. I am enjoying practicing with whatever commitments, high five, and now we're getting the daily talk and tells, mm-hmm. and just trying to fold them into my day. And today was acceptance, and we had, since I came back, I've had some news that my husband had an ultrasound with and they found a tumor, and he has surgery tomorrow. So I just found it, like, you know, instead of going into the place of oh my God, I don't have time to practice and stuff.
Right.
I just could, so much gratitude that I have been practicing for exactly this. And and then seeing something like the talk and tell and thinking, you know, acceptance. Well, that's it. That's, you know, and living in don't know.
Good for you. Yeah. Gosh, it's so true, isn't it? And it, yeah, it takes me back to what Jen was saying on the Good News Update, because exactly, it's such a perfect opportunity for conditioning to say, oh, no, I don't have time to practice. And, of course, the reality is, oh, no, I can't afford not to practice.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I have to practice.
Right.
And that what you're doing is brilliant. Using the your commitments, the high five commitment and the commitment to do talk and tell, to support you in doing what you know you need to and want to do, but that, you know, if we don't have those extra supports, sometimes we can get talked into, gosh, but it's too hard, because it is hard. You know, there's a lot going on, I'm sure, you know, at the physical, emotional, spiritual, on every level in a situation like that, there's a lot going on. And what we really, really need is everything we can do to bring ourselves here and to stay in this here now, which is where we get the support that we need to accept whatever is and to not know, to live in not knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like yesterday I had my reflective listening buddy call, and, you know, I record myself on that part and realize, like, oh, that fitted into the talk and tell, because exactly. And then I hung up, and then I listened to myself, and then I pressed the participation button.
That's great.
And I'm recording now.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
This is, it's kind of like group mentoring right now, right?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So that, you know, how am I working with acceptance?
Yeah.
Because conditioning would say, you know, blah, 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 and I can just start making a list of everything that I'm just accepting right now. What do I know? What is here right now?
Yeah.
Not, like, get all worried about the future what ifs, because that's just going to wear out the energy that I need for right now.
Precisely. Precisely. You know, we were looking at that recently with the fire. So when the wildfires were getting close to the monastery, and it was time for us to leave because they were close enough that there was, you know, don't know what the fire is going to do next.
Right.
And it was so interesting to watch exactly what you're describing, is to stay in that place of what's happening now is we're leaving the monastery. That's all. We're not losing the monastery right now.
Right.
You know, conditioning wants to go to that future, oh, my gosh, what if, and what's going to happen, and then what would you do? But that's not the moment we're in. And you're exactly right that that's all that conversation is going to do, is to drain that precious life force that we want to be here in this moment of life for whatever we is called for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, good for you. That's really, it's fun to see, isn't it, to see your practice over the years be available to you when it's most needed.
Yeah. Wow.
You know,
there's just
it's like having,
such gratitude for that.
Yeah. Such gratitude for, you know, the human who's practiced, the sincere practitioner who's been practicing all these years, for life, for Sangha, to be there to support us when we need it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the image I always get there is of, so we're in shape, you know, we're in good physical shape. And then at some point that pays off in really practical ways. Same thing with practice. You know, we practice, and then things happen, you know, big things come along in life, and suddenly we realize, wow, you know, all this practice that's been happening all these years is really available to me in this time.
Yeah, it is. It's truly available.
And
I just want to say to you, all you monks and local folks, welcome home.
Thank you. And you know, good Lord willing, we'll be welcoming you home soon, too.
Oh, I sure hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, as you say, Janice, whatever happens, it's all right.
It is.
You know, we're all together. We really are in that place of non-separation. However it goes, whatever happens, you know, it's all okay.
Yeah, you're right. And that I will be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Whatever that place and time is.
Right, because you're practicing to be in this here now, and that's always the right place.
It is.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen, and thanks, Michael.
Oh, thank you. And as I say, you know, we're practicing with letting go, but sure would be fun to see you soon. So we'll put energy in that direction.
Aw, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take good care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And we have another caller here, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. This is Amy in Washington, D.C.
Hey, Amy.
Hi.
I'm very new to the Sangha. I found Sherry's materials just a few months ago and started listening to all of these calls and really have just been absolutely moved and really trying to practice everything. And I started doing the Stop Drop Text program last week.
Oh, great.
And it's just been absolutely wonderful and has just brought so much awareness to just looking at things in my life in just a new way and looking at them as a process, as something that's coming up. And it allows me not to react to things as much because I'm able to kind of identify it as a process and something that is almost expected, like that's just a process that happens. And looking at it just so much differently has really been helpful for me.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
To suddenly see, oh, my gosh, that's just a process that happens. And in fact, as you say, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, the voices would say that at this point. Of course they would say that. Mm-hmm. And how much different that really offers us to a different way of being in our lives.
And it's I also really like that the text format, because then I can scroll back and see text from, you know, the past few days, because we've only been doing it a week, and, and already see patterns in things that have come up, which is just, it's just amazing.
It is amazing. It is. Mm-hmm. Have you done any recording and listening yet?
I just started that last week. I'm not sure who it is, the person I'm doing, who's my kind of mentor in the Stop Drop Text, but he's brought it up a few times, and so I started doing that, and I was very nervous and very apprehensive of doing it. I'm not sure why, but it is transformative.
Wow, good for you. Good for you. That's amazing. And the reason I asked is that I just had this image as you were talking about scrolling back through the back text and seeing the themes that are kind of emerging. It'd be fun to do a recording around that. You know, just to record what you're seeing about that and the themes that you're noticing that are emerging and how you're practicing with those. And that could be a really fun thing to record about.
Yes. Yes, one thing that I've noticed has come up a lot, though, is I seem to have a lot of processes and go unconscious when I'm engaged with other people. My consciousness is much stronger and I'm much better when I'm not necessarily just by myself, but when I'm, I guess, more in control of a setting. And so I think that's one that I need to do a recording and listening on.
Yeah. You know, and we really talk about that, Amy, as the highest level of practice there is when we're actually interacting with another person. Have you heard us talk about the privileged environment? Are you familiar with that term?
A little bit. That was mentioned as part of the Stop Drop Text program, but I don't know completely about it.
Yeah, so at the monastery and when we hold retreats, the retreats are held in silence. So certainly the workshop sessions, you know, there's talking during the workshop sessions. But when we're going about, we're not talking to each other. So when you pass someone on the path, you don't say, oh, hi, how are you doing? Isn't it a beautiful day? And it's for that very reason, exactly what you're talking about, is that it is so tricky to be able to stay conscious while also talking to someone else. And actually, one of the ways we talk about it when people are brand new and here on retreat, one of the phrases we often use is that while you're here, you have the privilege of not needing to be a personality. You know, because for each of us, when we're interacting with someone, whatever all the conditioning has been over all the years, you know, maybe I'm conditioned to try to be really nice and, you know, don't not hurt your feelings. Or maybe I've conditioned to, I always have to be right, you know, so if I think you're telling me I'm wrong, you know, then... But all of that conditioning gets so triggered when we're interacting with other folks. And it really is the highest level of difficulty in terms of staying conscious. And so, you know, it can be nice, especially in the beginning of practice, to not expect that of ourselves.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, that is just very timely. I was in a lot of different meetings today and, you know, just was talking with a lot of people and... That came up a lot. That kind of kept coming up over and over. And so is there a practice? It's just focusing on not talking, or is there a practice of a way to stay more conscious when you do have to talk and engage?
Right. So it's such a good question. So the privileged environment that we have at the monastery, the literal form of it is very tricky to bring out into everyday life because, of course, we're constantly interacting with people. And so what people who have practiced for a long time will talk about is practicing the spirit of the privileged environment as they go through their lives. And so probably for you right now, the best thing you could do for yourself is to really, really do all the things you're doing. So, you know, signing up for practice opportunities, I don't know if you've been on retreat with us, but, you know, doing that, if you can, would be fantastic.
Right. Yes.
I'm having a little trouble hearing it. Did you say you have been or you haven't?
Oh, I have not, but I would love to one day.
Yeah. And that would give you a direct experience of the formal experience of the privileged environment.
Right.
But in terms of... gosh, how do we stay conscious when we're, you know, having an interaction with someone else? I'll just tell you my experience of the progression of it, which is that over time, as we simply focus on our own practice, so exactly what you're doing, you know, you're doing stop, drop, and text, and you're, you know, maybe over time, then you decide you want to start a meditation practice, and, you know, you call into the radio show, you're listening to the radio show, and you're deepening your own practice. And what that begins to do is it just has us start to really become aware of the processes that you started us out with when you first called in. And we begin to see those processes everywhere.
Yep.
And at first, we see them, you know, when we're by ourselves, when we're alone, when we have time out in nature, when we, whatever it is. But over time, as those skills begin to build, and we talked a little bit about that with Janice in the last call, then those awareness muscles start to become available to us in times where they didn't used to be. And so maybe now I have an interaction with someone, and maybe not right in the moment of the interaction, but maybe a few minutes later I realize, oh, I see what was going on. That was that thing that got triggered in me that blah, blah, blah. And then pretty soon that awareness might start to be available to me while I'm in the interaction.
Right.
And then that awareness might be available to me before that thing even comes out of my mouth.
Right.
And at some point, I just naturally, not because I'm trying to be a better person or trying to fix something, but that process of awareness just naturally offers us choices in our lives because we start to see things much more clearly.
Right.
So instead of maybe getting triggered in a certain situation, we start to see that trigger happen you know, it's even before it, you know, whatever it is that comes out of our mouth, it's going to create the situation down the road, mm-hmm. and make the conscious choice to ourselves, oh, there's that thing. I'm going to make a different choice.
Right.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much, and I'm just grateful that I was able to talk with you both this evening so early in my practice.
Thanks for calling in, Amy. And I want to say
you.
One more thing, just because I really I so appreciate you calling in and respect the depth of your practice at such an early stage, that it's so crucial as we go through that process to hold ourselves with just, you know, oodles of compassion and patience and unconditional
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
Because what conditioning will want to do, of course, is turn it into a contest. Oh, look at you. You're practicing awareness and you're still doing that?
Right.
And we don't want
right.
to go that direction. We want to always be in a process of celebrating what we did see, being
yes.
thankful for it, and trusting that when we're ready to see the next thing and we're, you know, when it's time for us to see it before it comes out of our mouth or whatever it is, that we will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Have a great evening.
Take good care.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Amy. Jen, it's great to hear those questions from someone new to practice. It's always very fresh for me.
And you know, can't we all just go right there?
Yes.
It's,
yes, it's great.
I love that too. Beginner's mind is... It's a gift.
Yes, yes, definitely. And the gift we have right now is to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, sounds good.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would
this great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Jen.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. This is Beth from Denver.
Hey, Beth.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am well. I am well.
Good.
I'm so happy to be calling in. I'm so happy to be on.
And we're happy you called in as well. I was just writing. I forget where I was writing this. Oh, yeah, I remember. But how... It's so easy to overlook the importance of participation and how, you know, truly for each one of us, well, I'm only one person. I mean, what difference does it make, really? But, you know, it's the obvious thing is that, yes, each of us is one person, but we make the radio show.
And what came up for me was, and we are Sangha.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really. So if we always went with that, well, I mean, I don't really need to go to the sitting group tonight, or, I mean, I'm not going to go on that retreat. There'll be lots of people on that. I'm not going to call in the radio show. I mean, what difference is it going to make? None of it would be here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And, you know, I feel what other people have mentioned in that sense of do I push star six, and then do I push the one? Do I just stop at star six and I think about it? It's like, no, let's just see what happens, because I know conditioning can can come in and start to discourage me, especially if I've called in several weeks in a row and haven't gotten on. And there's this, certainly conditioning has this sense of, you know, it can spin the story into anything. You know, it's you'll never get on. You know, all the things that conditioning can say, and just to keep showing up and saying, nope, I'm gonna push it. I'm gonna be there.
Yeah, yeah, and I love that. It's so perfect. You know, the star six, and then am I gonna press one? Yeah, all the way to one. You know, I'm coming back to one. That's so perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, that is good. That gives the sense of being joined, you know, being at one with everyone.
Yeah. What's going on with you?
Well, I just transitioned, helped my dog transition from this life to the next.
Mm.
And it was the most beautiful thing. It sounds kind of odd, maybe, but sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I can get right there. Yep.
Yeah, I find that the day of the transition was a day that conditioning can't touch. You know, from the moment I was awake and aware that this was the day, it was perfect. You know, it was perfect how it all unfolded.
Wow.
And just being really present.
Yeah. Boy, and are you aware, Beth, of how, talk about exactly what we were looking at with Janice, the depth of practice that's happened over the years to make that available to you?
Yeah, that's great to hear it said that way, because there was kind of this instant, you know, I didn't get up and do my normal routine of yoga and meditation and things like that. It was like beyond that.
Yeah. Wow.
And so that's just been fantastic. Whenever anybody asks me about it, you know, I just say, you know, we did this and we did that, and it was like we just spent the day together to really enjoy, you know, whatever we had. And when she left, I was immediately, well, within a couple minutes, given a vision in my mind's eye of her just running, you know, across an open mountain field and just loving that she was free.
Wow. Wow. What a gift to both of you.
Yeah. It was truly stupendous. I find where conditioning wants to kind of make a big play is everything that happened up to that day.
Right. Okay.
You know, like why did she get sick? How did it happen? Why couldn't I cure her? You know, why did she get cancer in the first place? I mean, just everything. And I guess the real success story is that I haven't allowed it to go any further than seeing that that's what it wants to do.
Good for you. So in other words, it's introducing the conversation and you're not participating.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that there aren't moments where I'll catch my breath and I'll see something that reminds me of her and I'll just cry. Have a moment of sadness, and you know, but there's no follow on. There's no allowing that as the entree for conditioning to then introduce other things to pile on, shall we say.
Basically, I mean, we don't always think about it this way, but it's so perfect in the way you're describing it, like, because that having a moment of remembering her or, you know, whatever it is, I project that's just a moment of being moved by her life, and that's about her. And that sadness that comes up, that, to me, what I project onto that is just almost a celebration of her and the connection that you have and, you know, that she's not with you in a physical form anymore. And then conditioning wants to make it about me.
Oh, that's really good.
I didn't do this, or I should have done that, or, oh, I don't have my dog anymore, or whatever version of the story it wants to be, it's going to make it about me. And in the moment before that, it wasn't about me.
That is super helpful to see. That really is great. Yes, exactly. It starts the ego story. You know, it starts the all about me being the center of the universe, and why me, why, you know, how I should have or didn't, or all of that kind of stuff. So that's a really good, helpful thing. The other thing that kind of happens then is, you know, people have been calling and how are you doing, and, you know, all of that, and conditioning wants me to feel almost guilty that I'm doing really, like, really quite well. like really happy. Like, I'm really happy. Even in those moments of sadness, I'm still really, really happy with how everything ended and with where I am now. And there's almost this, I can see conditioning wanting to guilt me into, oh, you should feel worse. You know, you're not grieving enough, or you're not.
Yeah. Oh, God, you got to love it. And, you know, because here's the thing. It's like, gosh, I'm present. I mean, that's what you're describing. You're describing a life of presence. And no matter what's going on in a life of presence, when we're here for it, you know, and it's tricky to find the right word, right? Because, you know, you could say joyful. You could say happy. If you understand that those words include moments where you really miss having her right there with you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, but it's so funny because from a conditioned place, it's like we all make this agreement. You know, it's unspoken, of course, but, you know, we all follow the same conditioned norms. And when something, quote, bad happens, we have to feel bad.
Right.
You know, I mean, we have to wish it didn't happen and long for it to not have gone that way and all those things. But the thing is, if we're present, the byproduct is we're in well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's just how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really, and it's not, I can't say that it's a struggle, but it's an interesting place to see how, you know, conditioning wants to project that other people want to make a judgment that, you know, for whatever judgment it is, you know, she should be different than how she is going through this part. But it's kind of like you were saying before, that we practice, and then we get to these moments where practice really kicks in and everything is okay.
That's right.
And it's like everything that happened up till the day that she transitioned, you know, there were just some real valleys and some real abysses that I went through of, you know, crying and, you know, pain and anger and, you know, gnashing teeth and all of that kind of stuff, until that moment when it was just so clear that this is what life is calling for.
Yeah. And
I'm
acceptance that we
yeah
were.
And I'm going to get on board with it, because there's nothing I can do, you know, there's absolutely nothing.
Exactly. I mean, it's funny to draw this parallel because the two contents are so different, but it's the thing that Sherry talks about in, you know, when you're at the monastery, when you're in monastic training, and you know this because you've had the experience, and it's time to whatever it is, do the dishes, take out the trash, take out the compost, you have two choices. You can do it and be unhappy, or you can do it and be happy.
Yes. No, I think that's a brilliant.
It's our whole life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter the content at all. It is the process that you bring to it.
Right. Right. And, you know, we think it's the illusion of control, right? If I hate it, if I don't want it to be this way, if I, you know, all the gnash my teeth, then I'll change it. Well, no, not actually. No.
Right, exactly. exactly. I do feel like some of that, just going through the human responses and even the conditioned responses before she passed, before she transitioned, was helpful in the end, yes, you know, to just allow myself to go all, through all that so that I could come out on this other side and feel like, okay, and here we are.
Yeah, and allowing is the perfect word there, Beth, because that's my experience too, is that allowing ourselves to have the human experience and to go through all of it is not only helpful, it's necessary. Because it's that place of, you know, when we pay attention, everything enlightens us.
Yeah.
Because if we have a conditioned response on top of the conditioned response, so there's a conditioned response, you know, maybe it is conditioning that, you know, I get caught up in a story of why is this happening to me and this shouldn't be happening to me. But if we can be in awareness and watch that happen, it's so helpful to see that process.
Yes.
And if we can just stay there and not add the layer of, you know, good, right practitioners don't do that, and you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be having that experience. But if we can just let all of it be what it is and just to the best of our ability hold it all in awareness, it's incredibly transformative. And, I mean, will you be in some of those valleys that you described again? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe with this content, maybe with a different one.
And so helpful to hear you frame it that way, because it really helps me look back on it and accept it even more so, accept it even more fully.
Uh-huh.
And yes, looking forward to, not even looking forward, but projecting wildly that I will be going through some of the same processes, and maybe with a different a different way, with yeah. more compassion for the human, yeah. and with a sense yeah. of,
exactly.
And there's this too.
Yes, exactly. Because you've been so present all the way through this process that the next time you go through something, even if it's a really different content, we begin to recognize the process.
Yeah.
And everything that we've seen becomes available to us the next time we're in that situation again. So it's like that spiral image that's often used in practice, in spiritual practices. A lot of spiritual traditions talk about that. Yes, we do go through the same things again and again. They do come back, but it's a spiraling motion. It's not a back and forth. Oh, I'm back in the back there again, and now I move forward, and now I'm back, and now I'm, yeah.
Right, right. Well, wonderful. Well, wonderful to share and to and bring it above table and to hear it. Hear it back, and yeah, with Sangha.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. That's really, yeah, it's powerful to hear how people practice when they're in those, you know, what we call very real situations.
Yeah.
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 Well,
thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you. I will be coming to the monastery also soon, so I look forward to enjoying it, and I'm glad that all has worked out.
Yeah, that we have a monastery to come
that
to.
That we have a monastery, exactly.
Yeah, yes,
good.
Indeed. We're all very
thank
grateful.
You, Jen. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Jen, we have time for at least one more conversation here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. It's Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
Hi, Ramita.
I am delighted to be on. It's been a while since I've called in. I've been looking at something in practice. I'm in the midst, I guess, about day 5 or 6 into the cleanse, the Ayurvedic cleanse that some folks have done.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
And I'm noticing something pretty interesting. I do this, I've done it, you know, every 6 months for a couple of rounds now. And it is it is amazingly easy for me to do. And a part of me says this is really easy for me to do, and another part recognizes this is really a challenge. And
hey, Ramia?
Yes?
Could you speak up just as much as you can there?
Yeah, actually, I'll put in my headset. Hang on.
Okay. Yeah, you were a little bit quiet there.
How's that? How's that?
I can't tell yet.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? How's that? Any better?
That is a little bit better right there. That was a little better.
All right.
That's the magic phrase. As soon as you say, can you hear me now?
The veil lifts. The veil lifts and the audio.
Lifts.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I was realizing, you know, not only did it seem like I was able to do these, you know, these multitude of new practices and make time for them in my day, but that the things that I practice that are not so healthy for me seem to fall away. And there's no desire to indulge in things that, you know, I usually struggle with when I'm in my normal daily routine. But these 2 weeks, they're like sacrosanct. And I've been, you know, sort of talking with the mentor and, you know, like, what is this about? What's going on here?
Right.
And what I'm beginning to see is it seems like that I have, when I take such exquisitely good care of myself, there's no room for self-hate in there.
Oh, that's interesting. When you take such exquisitely good care of yourself, which is happening during the cleanse, there's no room for self-hate.
Yeah, it sort of popped in like, yeah, of course, you just crowded out the self-hate, and the self-hate is what feeds those behaviors that, you know, we humans tend to struggle with.
Right. And we don't recognize them as self-hate because it feels like I want that or, you know, I don't want this or whatever it is. We don't, we think it's me, but it sounds like one of the things that, one of the gifts of the cleanse is that it really highlights, well, that is a form of self-hate.
Yes, yes. And it, and the fact that I am committing to these 2 weeks of doing these activities for myself because I know it's good for me, body, mind, and spirit, that the commitment is so clear, it's like there's, I'm not entertaining the conversation at all.
Wow, that's powerful. It reminds me of the high five challenge, you know, discussion. You know, that same kind of, there's so much support for what the heart wants to do, what we authentically want in a situation like that.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm interested in seeing how I can bring more of this into my life beyond the cleanse, because, you know, there's a few things that are non-negotiable, like sitting practice is non-negotiable. I know that the voices come up and there's conversation about, you know, oh, this, I just don't entertain it. It just gets pushed off the burner, off the stove completely. And it's similar with this cleanse. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, the sort of, I'm sitting with this koan, how do I tap into this degree of willingness in other areas of my life?
I'm curious, are there specific areas you're looking at? Like, oh gosh, there's this one thing that I really would like to incorporate and there's a lot of resistance to it? Or is it more just a general across the board kind of process thing?
Well, I'm just looking at it, and you know, one thing that I, you know, for example, I will struggle intermittently with eating sugar. And then the way the body feels and the additional weight and those sorts of things. And so it's more like I want to avoid those things, and they become easy to avoid when I'm doing this program.
Got it.
I think you were asking more like, are there specific practices that I'm trying?
Well, no, that was exactly what I was asking.
Okay.
So sugar is one of them. Sugar is an area, it sounds like, where you're actually wanting not to eat it, but you get talked into eating it. Not during the cleanse, but at other times.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because one of the things that I've been looking at with the high five challenge that drops in as you're talking about it is that I have so appreciated, I have to be careful not to give away the newsletter article I just wrote today. That's so fresh. I was just looking at it. I've so appreciated how what I chose for my high five challenge things, none of them are big. You know, none of them are giant things. They don't take much time at all. Like here's an example I'll use. Forever, I've been wanting to regularly contribute tweets to the,
Practice Everywhere.
Practice Everywhere, thank you. I couldn't think of the title of it. And it's just one of those things that always gets bumped off the list. You know, oh, I'm rushing. Got to finish this, got to do that. You know, I mean, sort of just like we were talking about with Beth, there's lots of people in the Sangha. I'm sure someone will contribute. And it just never makes it to the top of the list. And it's like a little tiny self-hate trap. You know, it's like a little tiny rock in your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there with that rub because I want to do it. I love that program. I want to participate in creating that, but I just never do. And so I decided to make it one of my high five challenge things. And it's been so interesting to watch how I do it. And I do it because now it's important. And it gets the same level of importance as all those other things always get in my day. And it is as important.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds, you know, it's like moving that commitment up to a higher priority on the list.
Exactly. So the image I had, the reason I thought of all that was, it might be neat to, on whatever the basis is, for 2 weeks periods or month or whatever you want to do, to choose one of those things, you know, whether it's sugar or something else, and to make it a priority. You know, make it a priority for that period of time, just like the cleanse is right now, because it sounds like exactly the same process that I was describing with the high five challenge. Like, the cleanse becomes non-negotiable during those 2 weeks. Of course you're not going to eat sugar. You just aren't. But that in other times, somehow it's negotiable. And so it would be fun to always have something in that slot that you're practicing with that's non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
And then start to notice the process around it. You know, what makes something non-negotiable? At the end of those 2 weeks, is it then now negotiable? And I go back and I start eating sugar again? Or does it give me the support I need to not? Or, you know, just how all that works.
Yes, yes. That's what it feels like. I'm opening up an area of inquiry that I haven't seen as clearly before, and the curiosity and willingness to look there is building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that such a great thing? The curiosity and willingness is building. It's exciting.
Yes, yes. Another fruit of practice.
Yeah. It's like you've opened a dossier on, you know, whatever it is.
I'm gonna get you.
Yeah, exactly. It's so turning the tables, isn't it? Because instead of us being a victim to that process of, like in my case, gosh, why can I not write those darn tweets? And it's like, well, actually, I can, and really easily.
Yeah, and I'm reminded again about the factor of crowding my day with good self-care strategies so that I can edge out that that habit of self-hate, and that seems crucial. And but I like the idea of adding or having something in this slot for 2 week chunks of time, and use that as a focus for recording and listening. And
exactly. Yeah, just seeing things through that lens and, you know, all you see about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll say farewell, and have a wonderful bridge walk. I'll be with you in spirit.
Oh, thank you, Ramita. Thank you very much. Thank you for your participation and for calling in tonight.
My pleasure. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Ramita. Jen, I just loved that. Well, I loved the whole conversation, but especially that last part about crowding my day with good self-care practices.
Is that good?
That is fabulous.
I love that, you know, having a compass for what's on the docket for the day. And then, so the self-hate comes up, and then we look over the list. No, actually, that's actually not on my list today. So I don't have time for that. Because that wasn't, that's part of what I'm doing today.
Yes. Yeah, because I noticed before that conditioning was crowding my day with a lot of distraction. And it just didn't feel good at the end of the day. But we can crowd it with good self-care.
Yeah, crowd it with good self-care and keeping our commitments. And, it's good.
It is really good.
It makes for a happy life.
It does make for a happy life. And this show makes me very happy today. So thank you. And thank you, all the callers and listeners.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Good night, Jen.
Okay. Good night.